The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Everyone, you are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the wonderful Brooke Destra. We are live at Rivers Casino in Philadelphia, and Brooke, the Flyers have one more game before that big, all-important trade deadline. What will the team do? They're in a playoff spot right now. They've been in a playoff spot really since January, Brooke, and everyone thought they'd be aggressively selling. Maybe they won't be so aggressive in that way. So we're going to look at our three biggest storylines for the team going into Friday's trade deadline. It's at 3 p.m. Eastern time, Brooke. A lot to look at, a lot of questions to answer. So, Brooke, first storyline, I think it's fair to say, what will the defense look like after this deadline?
Yeah.
Who do you think is the most likely candidate to go? Because as we all know, they have three veteran defensemen on expiring contracts in Sean Walker, Nick Seeler, Marc Staal. How do you view it?
I feel like I have stayed very stagnant on where my views are. You're going to move Sean Walker, hopefully. I see the Flyers liking and keeping Nick Seeler, and then I really don't think you get anything for Marc Staal. So I just think that that's something that ends at the end of the regular season, whenever that is. That's just kind of, you're going to part ways, and it is what it is. I feel like that's the most realistic approach, and most likely the one that gets done. So little bits and pieces. I think the Flyers have always been really high on Nick Seeler. I think he fits this team very well. He's good in the locker room. And you can't really ask for more of what he's doing. He's done very well since he's joined this team. So I think maybe an extension, a new contract is due, maybe in the off season. And then I really think Walker is the one out of the three that gets moved before Friday.
I agree, and I do think with the injuries and where they are in the standings will make them more willing to be okay keeping guys. I think if they were in a different spot in the standings, if they were playing the way people thought they would, and that was like a bottom 10 team, they'd be more aggressive. And they have injuries now. Brooke, it's so funny. In this game, you can think you have too much of a position, and suddenly you don't have enough. And
right.
They have seven healthy defensemen. That's with Ronnie Adder being called up. And Nick Seeler also went down with an injury in last night's game. He blocked a shot in his left foot. Was able to return to the game in the third period, but had to leave and couldn't finish the game. So we'll see if he's okay.
And you know what? Nick Seeler has blocked over 180 shots this season.
Yeah.
So for one to kind of hit him the wrong way, like, you know he was in pain.
Yeah.
You know it's more serious than, you know, every other night. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Right.
I totally agree. It's really interesting how, you know, you keep, a couple weeks ago we were getting so tired of them being like, all right, they're running 11-7, they're running 11-7. It's like now it's, we barely have seven.
Yeah. Yeah.
So will we get back to 12-6, forwards and defensemen, hopefully. I mean, that's what everybody is dreaming of. I'm still dreaming of that consistently. But it's definitely, it's worrisome for sure, but I'm not, again, like, nothing that has happened in the span, I want to say, since post-stadium series that I'm hitting a button and running around screaming, panicking. Nothing is making me do that right now. And I think that is a very okay place to be. Check back with me Friday at 3:01.
No, that's very fair to say. And I think the Flyers are in a good position. Danny Breer, I think, is in a favorable position where he can do a number of things. But he doesn't have to be desperate. He doesn't have to be over-aggressive. He can be okay if they don't get their asking prices for some of these players. Because they have surprised this year. They have a very good chance to make the playoffs and kind of build on this season. So I think it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if not, I don't want to say stand pat. I think they do need to move maybe Sean Walker. I do think he's the most likely to go.
Something has to be done before the deadline.
Yeah, I think it would be very positive if they were able to acquire a draft pick or a prospect in some type of deal for an expiring contract. That was certainly, I think, the hope and goal going into the year, that they will be able to use the trade deadline to supplement their future. But the season has gone differently than people thought. So I think the Flyers are in a good position where they kind of control things here. An interesting thing I noticed was Ronnie Adder, he's been up here, he's been a healthy scratch, but in practices and skates, he's done some work with Nick Seeler. So I wonder if, you know, obviously Seeler, Adder, that's a lefty-righty. Mm-hmm. Sean Walker is a righty. Nick Seeler's been on a pair pretty much the whole season with Sean Walker. So I wonder if the Flyers are maybe getting Adder up to speed a little bit of working with Seeler and what that can maybe be like if they are to move Sean Walker. So maybe preparing for what life could be like if they are to move Walker. But
yeah, and I think that that's...
We'll see.
I think it's kind of a really smart strategic way to be doing this leading up into the deadline, mm-hmm. as opposed to like, okay, we move Walker Friday afternoon. Cool, they play Saturday. So you're going to call Adder up and just throw him right into the mix. Instead, you get him up with the team. You're kind of getting him acclimated, and you're having him work alongside Nick Seeler, like you said, who would be his probable defensive partner. So...
Right.
I think it was smart the way that they're doing this. I don't think it's a shock that Adder hasn't played since he's been called up. I think that, you know, they're preparing for some sort of change at the blue line at this point. Mm-hmm. So I like that it's not going to cause a scramble. If they make the move, they know exactly what's going to happen next. And I feel like that's something that the Flyers have really done all season. You know, they haven't just had plan A and then I run with that. They have B, C, D, and you know, they're prepared. They have backup plans. It's not one and done and everything kind of unravels.
Yeah.
So it doesn't shock me that they're going in completely prepared into this week. So yeah, good on them.
Yeah. Celebrity cook Steve Martorano brings his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. Make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. Brooke, our second biggest storyline going up to this deadline, and I think it's the one that fans are debating and maybe bracing for a little bit.
Yeah.
Will the Flyers make that toughest decision and move on from Scott Laughton? Really a heart and soul guy who's been here through thick and thin. How do you think this shakes out come Friday?
Yeah, I mean, again, I feel like my opinions, sorry for a boring podcast, but my opinions haven't changed.
No,
since,
that's okay.
Since
we've been talking about this for months, right?
We've been talking about this since July.
Probably have.
We were talking about this in the offseason, thinking that this is the only thing we were going to be talking about this year, is who's moving, who's going. We had a shorter list of who we thought would stay rather than go, and obviously things have changed. But my opinions on this have still stayed the same. I do not think that they will move Laughton at the deadline. I think if anything... I know it's a business, but out of respect to the player, I think the organization understands how important Scott Laughton has been to the organization since he's really arrived. If anything, he moves in the offseason. I am very torn with it because I like him. I do. I think he makes a lot of sense for this team. And sure, he's you know, getting a little older at this point and productivity, he's coming off of a career year and, you know, he's not performing as well as he has been in the past. Not saying he's bad, though, because obviously he's had his, bumps on the penalty kill and things in that regard. But he fits. Yeah. He does. And I just don't think they would move him at the deadline. I think that would cause such a ripple effect in the locker room at this point in the season, just because he's got his roots. He really does. Like, he's in there. And it would be a staggering loss. I know that people are like, okay, like, he's a bottom six forward. What's the big deal? And I will never stretch culture enough, like, in terms of this team. And again, something that we've talked about so much since the start of the season is... how closely knit this team has been. Mm-hmm. And Lawton is a big, big part of that. He's not going anywhere. And Danny Briere said it all the time, too. He's like, we're going to take calls, we're going to listen, but we're not shopping him. And I think that that's a testament. Like, they don't want to move him. They don't.
Mike God tells me he will stay. I really think the Flyers are very open-minded. Like, they're not going to not take calls on Scott Lawton. That would be silly. John Tortorella even said it about Sean Walker. He said, we'd be dopes if we didn't take calls and listen. But I think they're really going to have to be blown away by an offer. Mm-hmm. And maybe they get one. It's possible. I mean, Scott Lawton is making it awfully difficult on the Flyers. Like, he is playing some of his best hockey, even going back to last season. I mean, he's got 12 points in his last 11 games. He's a plus 14.
Well, it's funny because the rumors kind of started circulating even more of, you know, are they going to move Lawton? They're going to move Lawton. And Lawton's like, stop talking about me. I'm going to go on a tear.
Right.
I loved it.
Right.
Like, this is why I need to stay. This is why my value is worth being here in Philly during this. And you know what? He deserves a playoff run with the Flyers. Mm. I know he's had it in the past, but that's different.
Yeah.
It's really different. His role has changed so drastically since the last time this team has seen the postseason. He deserves to have that opportunity.
Yeah. No, it would be cool to see him get a chance at playoff hockey in Philadelphia. Yeah, he hasn't seen that since 2018. And as you said, his role has drastically changed since then. Mm-hmm. Definitely more of a leader, definitely playing a bigger role on the ice. And, I mean, he's playing like a first-line center right now, down the stretch when the games matter most. So not only is he probably having contending teams call Danny Briere more, but he's, like you said, Brooke, he's, without a doubt, I think, giving Flyers more food for thought of, okay, no, this guy can really help us now. And, Brooke, the reason I think there's a good chance he can stay is he's got some term left on his deal.
Yeah.
He's got two more years left on his deal. So maybe the Flyers weigh the whole, is his stock ever going to be higher than right now? And it might not ever be. But they will have opportunities, I think, if they fall off a little bit or they take a step back and they want to eventually cash in on him when he's got a little less term on his deal, they can do that. But it's a tough decision. I really don't envy it because I think the world of Scott Lawton, and I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And he's showing his value on the ice as well. So it'll be a tough one, but, man, I think the locker room will take a huge hit. People maybe think it's a cliche, but there are certain guys that really impact the locker room.
Yep.
It's like working around people in any type of life. Like, you enjoy certain people and they make you want to work harder, and Scott Lawton seems to be one of those people.
Yeah.
So a tough one for the Flyers.
Sorry, Danny.
Yeah.
That's really tough.
That is a tough one.
It's rough. It really is. That's why we are not GMs.
Yes. We're okay with that. Because you got to think, Lawton, I would think the Flyers are searching for a first-round pick and then maybe something different. Maybe even like a future second. These are just guesses, but I really think they're going to value him highly. Because if you think about it, Brooke, if they get a first-round pick for him, it's coming probably from a contending team.
Mm-hmm.
So that pick's going to be later in the first, depending on the year. So it's not like you're getting, you know, a top 10, top 5 pick, again, depending on what happens, but
and then
it's likely later.
And then you got to think, like, is it really worth
right.
it?
Scott Lawton was a late first-round pick.
Right.
So,
I don't
know. We'll see.
I don't know. They have two first-round draft picks going into this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's freaking out and panicking over draft picks. If there is somebody that the Flyers want top 5, top 10, they're going to pair up picks and move up in the draft. They
mm-hmm.
have the flexibility to do that this year. So, like, when people are panicking about, like, we need to acquire draft picks at the trade deadline,
mm-hmm.
calm down. They have them. They have them.
They do. They
it's
have...
so unrealistic to be like, yeah, I want the Flyers to have 4 to 5 first-round picks for the next 3 drafts.
Right.
Why would anybody want that? Every single asset would be gone. You would be watching a terrible team. No one wants that.
Mm.
Let them compete. Let them play. Let them push for the playoffs. Make a small move or two. Do the work in the offseason. Draft the 2 guys or whatever in the first round this year and move forward. I just, like, that drives me nuts. They have the picks, Jordan.
Yeah, they do have picks. It's not like they haven't, and they've drafted in the top 10 the last 2 years. Of course, Cutter Gauthier no longer here, so that's, you have to stomach that a little bit. But they have picks. You're right, Brooke. They have, I think, Danny Briere especially has done a good job, and even Chuck Fletcher getting a first in the Claude Giroux deal. They've gotten some picks here, and I think, as Danny Briere stated, like, he challenged his team to compete in every game and to try to win despite the rebuild narrative, and he has mentioned players will dictate this. Part of the reward, maybe, to them actually putting themselves in this spot is, no, they aren't going to buy, and that's probably something that people think they maybe should do, given where they are. They're not going to buy whatsoever, but at least maybe they don't have to rip up the roster. And I think maybe Briere's going to try to strike that balance.
I just don't think that there's a need to rip the roster apart right now. Like, everyone's saying they need to get younger, they need to draft better, but you have all these young guys in Tippett and Farabee and Frost and Forrester and York and Drysdale when he's healthy. And I know Konechny's older, but he's 26. It's not like he's this aging veteran. They have young. It's a young team.
Yeah.
I just I'm all for open conversations and debates, but when people are throwing, they need to draft and they need to get younger, I'm like, that's exactly what they're doing, but they're not blowing up the entire roster to do it.
Right. Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
And done leads us into our top storyline, Brooke. What will they do? Will the Flyers get their asking prices for some of these players that suitors could be after? Because, Brooke, I have a feeling if you know, it's very possible they might not do anything at the deadline in terms of selling off pieces or, of course, acquiring players. I think it's much more likely they do not acquire anyone unless it's like a prospect coming back for a veteran. But maybe the Flyers don't do anything at the trade deadline. Maybe they don't get the prices that they're looking for. How would you feel about that? Do you think there would be people upset if this team that's saying it's in a rebuild didn't try to cash in and get some assets for the future?
My biggest thing is if you don't move Walker at the deadline, my thoughts are, okay, maybe they're interested in signing him in the offseason. Mm-hmm. I, again, am not really for that. I really think that at some point you need to move on to make sure that you get something in return with him. I don't see him long term. Again, it stinks because he came in and he fit very well. And that's a testament to him. He worked hard. He earned his place in the roster. Good for him. I think if the Flyers were to cash in on any opportunity, I think it is moving Walker. And it's not going to be for a player. I think that will be for picks. But, okay, at that point, great. You're losing a defenseman, and now you're getting picks. But is that going to affect the current team? Probably, in some shape or form. I mean, Walker's been a really substantial, sustainable player for them this year. So, that's the pros and cons of moving in the middle of the season. But if they have no plan to keep him after this season, you do not want to let him walk. You need...
No pun intended.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Funny door. But you know what I mean.
Yes.
Get something at the deadline, because the last thing I need is to go on Flyers X, Flyers Twitter or whatever, and have another "you keep JVR" past the deadline experience. Yeah. That was a meltdown that I will never forget. Like, forget.
Yeah,
because that was brutal.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
And I will be honest, I think that was justified. I think everyone was kind of blown away that they couldn't move this team that said it was selling and couldn't move its most obvious trade candidate. But
And then he walked.
Yeah, and then he walked.
That's what happens. Yep. I don't think that this current front office would do that. I think they know every single thing that they do from really every single move that they make, not even leading up to the deadline, has some sort of domino effect. So, like I said earlier, how they have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, a plan D. If, you know, they're not moving Walker to this team, maybe they're doing something else. I don't know. They have backup plans. They're not going to reveal them because that's not smart.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think it would be as catastrophic as last year if Walker was to stay.
No, it's apples and oranges, but it's still, you know, people are so panic-stricken from the previous GMs in the organization that they are already panicking about things that haven't even happened yet. Like, the deadline is Friday afternoon. They still have a game that they're focusing on Thursday, which is a big game against Florida. So, it's just stop panicking when nothing has happened yet.
Yeah, you gotta, and I think Danny Briere and Keith Jones have earned some trust with how they've handled things so far. So, do they deserve all the leash in the world? No, I think they. It's fair to criticize them, and we'll see what they do at the deadline. But I mean, they deserve some credit for where the team is, without a doubt.
Sure.
And with the addition of Jamie Drysdale, a young 21-year-old ready-shot defenseman, I think it gave them more incentive to move Ishaan Walker, a ready-shot defenseman who's older and is going to get paid this offseason. I don't know how much he will get paid, but he's having a career year. He's still under very good age. He is going to be looking for some money. And, yeah, I think if
and
the Flyers...
he's earned it. He really
yes,
has.
Yes, he's
he
earned
really
it. He's been
has.
Very good. I think he's a very good teammate, a good person. But if the Flyers get a sense of his asking price or what his agent is looking for in the offseason, it's pretty high and it's out of their range, I think they need to absolutely look to try to move him. If they feel like they can't get him or re-sign him, they got to get something for him. We'll see. if the Flyers are, I think they're in, I said it earlier, I think they're in a fine position of they don't need to trade someone just to trade someone. They should get fair value in return. So if they're a little quieter at the deadline, I really don't think that is the worst thing in the world. They will have options, like you said, Brooke, in the summer to continue to kind of get their rebuild going to another level. They do have picks. But we'll see where it all goes, Brooke. It's going to be very interesting. We did not anticipate them being in this position at the deadline where...
No. I told you, we were talking about this in July and in August and in the offseason.
About how this would be a big period.
We thought that this was just going to be, you know, the whole first half of the season. We were going to be like, all right, who is going to build up enough value that can be moved at the deadline? No. It's not the case this year. And that's the one thing that, obviously, like, they're still enforcing the rebuild, but you have to understand that everything is so fluid, too. You know, you're not going to tank, hope for, you know, number one overall draft lottery pick and magically become better. The perfect example is Chicago. They're still bad. You have the number one player buried in a terrible team now. Would you rather have that? I would not. I would not, Jordan. I want a fun team, and I want to build throughout the process, and that's exactly what the Flyers are doing
fair.
Right
that's,
now.
That's the whole...
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, it's the whole tank first rebuild argument. And one thing I will say, I think they're... You know, if the Flyers have a quieter deadline, I think fans will have a reasonable concern about, is this team getting too caught up in one run again? And I think that's fair. We will see what they do this season and how they handle the summer. But they did promise that it's not a one and done.
Yeah.
That they're still not, you know, not like that. At the end of the day, they're in third place.
Yeah.
They're not. They're not a cup contender right now, or at least we don't think they are.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a different.
They got to focus on the future still.
And it's a different conversation as opposed to the last time that the Flyers were in a playoff push, any kind of playoff run, because their core, they were all aging vets. You had Giroux and Voracek and Hayes in the bubble and. What people aren't understanding is that it's not this old aging core. It's a young, fast team.
Yeah, it is.
It's a much different situation than it has been in the past. And I know prior to that, the last stretch of runs up until like 2018, it was every other year they made the playoffs. Every other year was a first round exit. Everybody knows that that's not what they want this year.
Right.
But it's a much different situation than the last time that they made the playoffs.
Right.
And I think that that is the one thing that everybody has to keep in mind. It's not this aging core that needs to be moved to get any kind of assets to build for the future. The future is already a part of this team. And it's finding little pieces here and there as these younger guys continue to grow.
I agree. But Danny Briere said it from day one in March when he took over in the interim. He didn't think this was a fire sale. He thought there was stuff here to build around. And I agreed with him. I thought they had better young players than people were giving them credit for. A lot of players 25 and younger that were already pretty good players and that had another level to get to. So, Brooke, I couldn't agree more. I think they very much will realize the deadline's not like a make or break point for their future.
Nope.
They can still be very aggressive in the summer in different ways to push the future forward and not be all about one run. But I think they do owe it a little bit to this roster.
They did what they asked.
Right.
What was asked of them.
Right.
They deserve to be rewarded for that.
19 games to go, and they've been in a playoff position since January. We'll see, Brooke, where this finishes. We know the schedule heats up in March.
I'm still stressed about it.
Yep.
Still stressed about it.
Brooke is looking at that schedule right now. No.
No, I'm looking at the standings, but the schedule's burned in a break.
A big-time challenge for the Flyers. It's going to be fun to watch how they react to it, mm-hmm. good or bad. And it will be fun to see how this trade deadline shakes out on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Brooke, thank you so much. Great to see you. Great to chat with you.
And you can catch all of the trade deadline talk for NBC Sports Philadelphia on our website, NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. Jordan Hall covers it all the time, and he doesn't shout out his own work. So I'm shouting it out. Make sure to check that out.
Brooke, thank you so much.
Jordan. Yeah.
And also, really appreciate that. And also, Ashlyn Sullivan and Al Morgani as well will be going live right after the deadline. They'll be talking about all the moves as they happen. So be sure to watch them as well and catch Brooke's work as well. She'll be with me reacting to the deadline as well. So thank you so much for listening. Brooke, thank you so much. Great to see you. Great to chat with you. Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru, a big thank you to him. And Flyers fans, as always, thank you so much for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. We were live at Rivers Casino in Philadelphia. Wherever you get your podcast, please rate and listen. And we cannot wait to talk to you next time.
Have you ever wondered how to say good morning in Italian? Or what is goodbye in French? You can ask Alexa. Just say, what is happy birthday in German? Or how do you say hello in Japanese? Do you want to know how to say I love you in Spanish? Ask Alexa and start learning a new language today.